Today on Real Radio.
This is an amazing and favorite verse of the Mormon Church and the missionary at your door. They'll go right to this passage. Throughout the Bible, the word here, as it appears, God, is the word Elohim. It not only appears Elohim for God, the God of Israel, the true God, but it also throughout Scripture appears Elohim in referencing the pagan gods of the Amalekites or the Hittites and others. Anyone worshiping today a pagan god, if you were in Israel, do you know what you would say? They worship Elohim. And you would say, oh, no, they don't. And the Jew would say, yes, they do. Because the word means gods. It's a declaration of singular plurality. Depends on the context.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study through the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 31 through 42, which starts off with a verse that says that they pick up stones to stone him because Jesus said, I and my Father are one. They didn't take too kindly to this statement. And remember, the Gospel of John is sometimes called the I Am Gospel, because Jesus was claiming and demonstrating that he was God Almighty. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Some people today wonder, how come we're not seeing the eyes of the blind open, or legs, you know, coming back, or people being raised up from the dead and all? And you need to understand something. I believe those miracles are going forth in places where the gospel is going forth. I think in dark, remote villages of the world, as it was in the days of Christ, where the good news had never been heard, I think those miracles are being done. Yes, because does God do miracles? Yes. Have we seen God do miracles here lately? Amazing. People healed of cancers in this church lately. I'm absolutely blessed and blown away. Should I be surprised? No. But I am, because I lack faith. But God does his thing. But how wonderful it is that I believe in the deepest, darkest of China or Africa somewhere where the gospel has never reached, I believe there's great works going on. Why? So people will go after those works? No, because the Bible, as Jesus taught us, when he did the works that he did, they were to get that person to not believe in the work, but in the one who does the work, in God. Very important. Not the miracle, the message. That's what we're to be committed to. And Jesus is here declaring to us that he's doing the works of the Father, and they were to follow him. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. The works confirmed his words. In Matthew 11, verse 4, the Bible says, Jesus answered and said to them, go tell John. Remember when John was in prison? And John had doubts. John the Baptist was in prison, and he said, listen, somebody go and ask Jesus if he's the one that we should look for. Is he the one, or do we wait for someone else to come? And when those ambassadors of John came to Jesus, they said, Jesus, John wants to know, are you the one, or should he wait for another one? Another Messiah, someone else to redeem. And Jesus says, go tell John what you see, and go tell John what you hear. And the proof that Jesus was the Messiah was the fact, not what people said about him, but first what he did. He did a great thing. And that was almost like a message in code to John. When his followers came back to John in prison and restated what Jesus had said, we never hear any more from John. It's as though that was enough. When John was reawakened to the truth, you know what? He is the Messiah. I announced his arrival. And when I hear about these works, he's the one. It doesn't matter what people say. My friend, it doesn't matter what people say about you either. See, well, I want people to think good of me. That can be a snare. It's a great thing to have a great name, as the Bible tells us. But listen, someone can smear you in a moment. Pastor Chuck told me years ago, and I've held on to this advice, and it's great, great words, very, very liberating for me. Pastor Chuck says, many will come and accuse you in your service to God. Just make sure they only can accuse you, that there's no validity to the accusation. Why? Because that's the world's way. That's Satan's way, is to accuse and to attack by word. But may it be from our lives that we get up and go from this place and make a radical change, a difference. Why? Because we follow the one who is Lord over all. And that was a great reminder to John. Our second look under this point is this. What does he say about himself? The Bible says here in verse 33, they say, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. Now listen carefully. Wake up your neighbor, get your pen ready, and jot some things down. I'm going to run through a lot of scripture, and it may be that I'll have a tendency to get rather excited about these verses. The reason why, they've been very near and dear to me in my life. Before I give them to you, I want you to understand something. They were given to me personally by the man who headed up the Watchtower and Tract Society in Brooklyn, New York, the correspondence department for 28 years, William Centnor. He was a senior executive and servant of the Watchtower Society for the Jehovah's Witnesses in New York. And he was working there at that post when a little man walked into that building. If you've ever been to New York, you've seen their big sign illuminated over the bay there. And a little man walked in there, and he asked to speak to this man, William Centnor, and he gave him this line of logic that I'm going to give you in a moment. And when William Centnor wrote those verses down and went back several months later after being kept awake by them, having his life tormented by these scriptures, wound up accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It wound up changing his life. He lost all of his power. He lost his position. He lost his family. But he could not deny the truth. By the way, that little man who walked in was Walter Martin, shared with this William Centnor, and it saved his soul from hell. Consider this. What does Jesus say about himself? Well, first of all, notice that they accuse him of blaspheming. That is according to the Old Testament scriptures. Anyone who speaks in the name of God and it is not under God's authority, or if anyone claims to be God, shall be stoned. Not with drugs, with rocks, to death, according to the word of God. So very carefully understand this. When they say, this is what we have against you, not what you have done, not what you're doing, what you say. And listen, my friend, get ready. What you say is that you are continually declaring to be God. When it says here in the English, you being a man, make yourself God, the Greek is you continually are making yourself out to be God. It's not just this verse. It's all of John's gospel. You are always declaring that you're God. Now you might say, well, I don't get it. Well, that's because you're not in the Jewish community. If you have a strong Jewish background, you recognize from the beginning when John announces in the scripture that the Word was with God and the Word was God. And John 1:14, that Word became what? Flesh and tabernacled or dwelt among us. Keeping that in mind, jot this down. Are you ready? This is a foolproof train of logic that Jesus Christ is God over all. Are you ready? You have to only have to remember one verse because it will connect you to all the others if you rig your Bible right. Isaiah 48:12. Isaiah 48:12 says, listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called, I am he. I am the first and I am also the last. Now that's the God of the Old Testament. That's the God of the Bible. He's the first and he's the last. Isaiah 48:12. When Jesus says, I am, before Abraham ever was, they knew exactly what he was saying. Isaiah 44:6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and besides me there is no God. How many gods come after God? No gods. Who is the first and the last? The God of the Bible. How many gods do we worship? One God. The Bible says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Keep that in mind. Isaiah 41:4. Who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? It is I, the Lord. I am the first, and I am with the last. I am He. By the way, that's a neat little clue there. I am the first, and I am what? With the last. I am He. Interesting. That's Isaiah 41, verse 4. Isaiah 43, verse 10. You are my witnesses. This is the text that the Jehovah Witnesses use. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Whoever the I am is, He's the Lord, and He is the Savior. Are you guys awake? There's only one God, there's only one I am, and there's only one Savior. There's not multiple Saviors. Remember, your argument might be, well, Jesus is named the Savior because He did the will of the Father. It's the same mission. Wrong. Jesus said last week, I and Father are one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one in nature and in very essence, not mission or purpose. It's clear both in the Hebrew and the Greek. Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. This morning, knowing this verse was in my notes, and hearing Mr. Graham deliver that message in the National Cathedral this morning, he kept saying, the Almighty. And there's something about those Graham kids when they say the Almighty, you know, it sounds like their dad, you know, this thunderous, the Almighty. And it's like, man, I want to get saved. I wanted to climb through my TV and run up the aisle and slide right there in front of the pulpit. Yes! You know, something about that North Carolina accent. And then when they say the Almighty, it's like, oh, Lord. You know, get all Pentecostal kind of, you know. The Almighty. Revelation 4:8. Revelation 4:8 tells us about heaven, that the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, holy, holy. How many times? Three times. Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. Who do you think that is? That's the Lord God Almighty. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the God that created the worlds. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Revelation 1:11. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. How many Alpha and Omegas are there? One. How many first and last are there? One. Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the first and the last. That's the Creator God. How do we know for sure? Because there's only one God. And He said to us in Isaiah that He's the only Savior. Revelation 21:6. Revelation 21:6. And He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. It's important. This is the Word of God. These are the attributes and titles of God. Revelation 1:17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, John says, but he laid his right hand upon me, and he said, do not be afraid. I am the first, and I am the last. Revelation 1:18. Next verse down. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys to hell and death. Well, whoever the first and the last is, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Almighty, the one who is to come, is one who lived and died and lives again. It's clear. Revelation 2:8. And to the angel of the church of Smyrna write these things, saith the first and the last, who was dead and who has come back to life. Man, isn't that great? Write these verses down, know them, and give them to your friends or those who knock on your door who degrade and demean the deity of Jesus Christ. No, the shepherd of the sheep is in fact the Lord God over all. And that's who has saved you. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without debate, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received back up into glory. Titus 2:13, my favorite verse, this is the verse of my life. Titus 2:13, that we are to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I know it's early, but I'm, you know what? Don't you just want to yell? I mean, it's awesome. And people say, no, I don't think Jesus is God. Have you noticed something? All the New Agers get to be God. Have you noticed that? Shirley MacLaine and Linda Evans and John Denver, they all get to be God. I think the latest news out now is John Travolta's now God. I guess the Angel movie, he took it to greater heights, I guess. Now he's God. Everybody gets to be God. But if you stand on a street corner and say, Jesus is God, people go, no, he's not. Everybody gets to be God but Jesus. And yet the Bible declares it loud and clear. John 8:58, you already know this verse. Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, ego eimi, I am the eternal self-existing one. I've never had a beginning. I'll never have an end. I am the great I am. The name of God. And with that, by the way, in John 8, they picked up stones to kill him because they understood exactly what he was saying. John 8:24, therefore I said to you, that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. John 10:25, to our text, verse 33. And Jesus answered and said to them, I told you, and you do not believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews picked up stones again to stone him, and Jesus answered and said to them, many good works have I shown you from my Father, which is of my Father. For which of these do you seek to stone me? Verse 33. The Jews answered and said to him, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, continually make yourself out to be God. The shepherd of the sheep is God over all. Third point, verses 34 to 36, Jesus Christ is Lord of all. He's Lord of all. This is an exciting portion of Scripture coming up here. Because now our friends argue at our doorstep that we can become gods based upon this portion of Scripture. Listen carefully. Jesus answered and said to them, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, by the way, listen, and the Scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? What's he saying here? Jot it down in your notes. Put it in your margin next to this verse. You're going to need it in the future. Jesus is quoting the 82nd Psalm, Psalm 82, specifically verse 6. Psalm 82:6, where there the Scripture says, and I have said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. What do you think about that? Say, oh no, there's a contradiction in the Bible. I guess we are gods. Wait a minute. God didn't write the Bible in English. You know, we're funny. We go to foreign countries and foreign worlds, you know, as Americans, and we wonder why everybody in a foreign country doesn't speak English. We go to Russia and we're wondering, how come these Russians aren't speaking English to us? You know, we're really arrogant about that, you know? Hey, God, if you're going to talk to me in English. Well, he will talk to you in English because that's what, and that's the only language you and I know. But when he gave the scripture in Hebrew and in Greek predominantly. When the scripture says here, Jesus speaking, "Have I not said that you are gods?" Notice, first of all, that it's little g in your Bible. Jesus says the scripture cannot be broken. He's talking about the 82nd Psalm. This is an amazing and favorite verse of the Mormon church and the missionary at your door. They'll go right to this passage. Throughout the Bible, the word here, as it appears, God, is the word Elohim. It appears both in Old and New Testament. Listen carefully. It not only appears Elohim for God, the God of Israel, the true God, but it also throughout Scripture appears Elohim in referencing the pagan gods of the Amalekites or the Hittites and others. Listen, anyone worshiping today a pagan god, if you were in Israel, do you know what you would say? They worship Elohim. And you would say, oh, no, they don't. No, they don't. And the Jew would say, yes, they do. Yes, they do. Because the word means gods. It's a declaration of singular. It's a strange thing. A singular plurality. Depends on the context. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? The word is Elohim. Why? And this has always been a frustrating scripture, Genesis 1:1, to any Jew who knows his Bible, because the word speaks of plurality yet in a singular. The context is that God. Remember when the Lord says, let us go down to the Tower of Babel? Elohim. E-L is God. I am in Hebrew is plural. You see, we don't worship multiple gods. We worship one God. Well, then why does the Bible call him Elohim? Because he's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's a singular plurality to our God in the Bible. Well, then why here in Scripture does it say, Psalm 82, did I not say that you're gods? Because listen, very, very exciting. The Bible declares to us that the word judges in the Scripture that we read in English is the word Elohim. Example, the Bible tells us in Exodus 18, when Moses was doing all the work and he was getting overwhelmed, his father-in-law came to him, Jethro, and he said, listen, this thing that you're doing is not good. Why don't you appoint judges to judge Israel? Guess what word Jethro used? Elohim. Appoint Elohim to have them judge the people.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study of John chapter 10, in verses 31 through 42, it's called, "The Shepherd of the Sheep is God over all." We'll hear more in this study series through the Gospel of John on our next broadcast of Real Radio. Remember, though, you can visit us at realradioactive.org and become a free subscriber to our podcast. You'll be able to listen to Pastor Jack's studies when it's most convenient for you. That means today's program or recent past broadcasts. Just visit us at realradioactive.org and find out more about this free service. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. Finally, remember that Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is an electronic medium outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue edifying believers and presenting the gospel to non-believers because of your tax-deductible support. We're heard on most continents around the globe, on local radio stations, shortwave radio stations, and the internet, thanks to you and your financial support. In fact, you can read some of our listeners' reactions at realradioactive.org. Meanwhile, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, if you weren't able to catch all that contact information, remember you can always locate it on our website, realradioactive.org. Till next time. We at Real Radio in Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. Inside.
You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.